Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I will be on with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. We will talk about the Illini's 77-71 loss to Purdue and Zach Edey. It will not be a bad thing when he goes to the NBA or overseas to play basketball. I'm tired of him in the Big Ten. Not that he's done anything wrong, but boy, is that guy a unicorn to deal with on the basketball court. We'll be right back after these messages.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcast. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
And as promised, Kedrick Prince is here with me, Mike Kegley. We're going to talk a little bit about the defeat that Illini had at the hands of Purdue, 77-71. One of the things, I guess, that I'm going to put out for you, Ked, is before the game, I thought there were two keys. The first key was Illinois had to stay out of foul trouble, which they did in the second half, but not in the first half when Terrence Shannon really didn't get a chance to get much going, and then that extended into the second half. And the second key was that Domask, Shannon, and Hawkins all had to have good games because Zach Edey is such a weapon. And while I don't think anybody played horrific ball, Shannon ended up with 11 on 3 of 13. Domask had 20 on 8 of 16, had some really nice plays. And, of course, we had Hawkins with 13. And I really thought, to me, Ked, the difference in this game was Purdue wanted to play at a slower pace. In the first half, you know, when you look at it, Illinois shot 16 of 30, and the second half ended up 9 of 25, but some of that came down in garbage time, and I think I think the pace of the game slowed down enough for Purdue to get a an advantage, and I think that slower pace helped them. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen. There're not going to be a lot of teams who can do this to Illinois, but that slower pace allowed Illinois to kind of fall off their normal way of doing things. And in the end, you know, I think Purdue hit the big shot when they needed to, and Illinois wasn't quite in a rhythm, so they didn't. And that's the difference in a 6-point game.
Mike, I think Illinois got Zach Edey tonight. That's the first thing. I mean, he's good. He's 7'4". I mean, Brad Underwood mentioned the fact that he took 23 shots. I don't care if it took 50. Dude was effective, and he punished Illinois in the post. Like he punished everybody else. He was, to me, number one, the most glaring difference. The second was Terrence Shannon having an off night. It's too bad because he has been so great and dominant. But tonight, it wasn't his night, and it stinks because, you know, if he has a normal night, you win the game. I will give you credit for noticing the fact, because I do agree with you. I think by slowing the ball down, you take Terrence Shannon out of the game. I mean, we all know how effective he is running the floor and getting an open court. He didn't get that opportunity tonight. He got one, and I actually think it was a charge, to tell you the truth. So Illinois got a call out of that. But, I mean, it's Coleman Hawkins only shooting 1-3. You know, Justin Harmon missing key threes down the stretch. Coach Underwood mentioned the lack of rebounding and down the stretch when it really, really mattered. And I mean, those are 50-50 balls to me. But one of the rebounds that Coleman would have gotten. I mean, if the Purdue fans are listening to this podcast, you know, driving back to West Lafayette, I want to tell you, enjoy Zach, because I enjoyed Kofi when he was here. But that's going to be over. He's an automatic bucket when he gets the ball in the paint down there. He just is. And that's not going to last because Kofi was the same way. And I get it. So, I mean, kudos to them. Kudos to Painter for putting shooters around him. But like I tweeted tonight to some guy, since the NBA, he's not going to be around for 10 years. And he said he's going to the NBA. I don't know if he has another year of eligibility. I don't know with COVID. But I can honestly tell you, he's the reason they got beat. He answered every call that Illinois had to start the second half. And when Illinois didn't make a basket, then that's when their guard stepped up.
Yeah, I thought he played exceedingly well, and there was no, you know, he took no prisoners. And I'll tell you, there was a couple times that I thought what he did was so good is you know, like at the end of the game, anytime that he got the ball or he, you know, I would have fouled him out, Edie, because he was only, you know, what was he, 2 for 4? For the game, I would have made him shoot free throws, and Illinois didn't do that. And then he would find the open shooter, and you know, he ended up with 3 assists. And in credit to the guys like Braden Smith and Lawyer, you know, they hit those shots. It'll be a lot harder to hit those shots next year when you don't have the 7'4" man mountain, and people will be able to play on you. And when you're out playing defense, like the wraparound stuff that Braden Smith did to Terrence Shannon, you know, you can't do that when you don't have a 7'4" guy underneath the rim to clean up any mistakes.
Right.
So some of those things will be a little different. We'll see if those undersized guards, how good they are next year. But the same thing could be said about Illinois when you had, you know, Alfonso Plummer and Trent Frazier, you know, with Kofi. So, you know, there was those big guys like that, they erase a lot of mistakes. Edie had 28 points on 13 for 23, 2 for 4 at the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and only 1 turnover in 36 minutes. And he really, you know, out there on the, you know, really caused issues. Had 2 blocks, a steal. He was just the total package out there and made it really hard on the Illini.
He did. And I don't want to focus on all the negatives. I know we typically go through the players, but I have to be careful how I say this. Marcus Domask is one of my favorite players of all time, and I have to be careful how I say that. That kid is competitive as heck. I mean, the shot that he made over Zach Edey, Coleman wouldn't even have probably, he probably wouldn't have shot it.
Which one, Ked? Because he did it twice. That was the thing I thought was incredible.
I'm going to tell you, I know I'm going to miss all the seniors. Don't get me wrong, because, again, I'm friends with Coleman. His uncles are there from California, Chicago. They've been there for 2 weeks. But I'm going to tell you, it is going to be sickening to me if Marcus Domask is not on that roster next year. That kid is a gamer. Just big shots after big shots. Doesn't care. He wants the ball at crunch time. If there was ever a photo type person where you want to say, hey, why you want to come to Illinois? Because if you're in the transfer portal, that dude will be on every billboard because he has become an unbelievable player. And they were talking about all Big Ten team. I'm sorry. I think they're right. 4 of those kids on first team Big Ten was playing tonight. You can't leave Marcus Domask off that list. That kid is tough, man. He is tough.
Well, you know, my guess is he'll be left off the list. We'll see. But I have a feeling, well, we'll have to see what happens, and I'll just leave it at that. But I don't have a lot of trust. And like I said, we'll see who wins the Big Ten Coach of the Year. But I do think ultimately, as I watch this game, you know, I thought Domask played a masterful game. It's hard to throw any rocks. I thought he played extremely well. I think probably the biggest the other big issue between the two teams is Illinois, you know, struggled in second half to get shot to get stops. And the other thing was at 3 turnovers versus for Purdue versus 12 for the Illini. That first half, I thought Illinois had an opportunity to do more, and they ended up having, you know, eight turnovers in the first half, and I think that prevented them from maybe getting the lead that mm-hmm. they needed, and sometimes that's a hard one. But Illinois has that, you know, you want to get it to over that into double digits and start a big run. And I thought they had opportunities, and so many times they derail it with turnovers that aren't always forced. And I think that is one of the things. I think the turnover bug is something they're going to have to look at. And then I do think that when they get into the tournament, you know, you want to figure out, like, what do we do to get Terrence Shannon rolling and let him, you know, let him get rolling. And if anything, you know, he had 13 shots tonight, get him a few more. And I would have also been good. Coleman Hawkins, again, 5 for 10, you know, had a good night, but I would have loved to have seen him, you know, get a couple more.
Yep.
Just because I thought the whole team passed up. I mean, only shot 25% from the three, but I thought they did pass up a few open looks that, you know, if you hit a few key threes earlier in the game, down the stretch plays out a lot different. Doesn't mean you're going to win, but, you know, it's one of those challenges. When you look at you had some questions about Amani when he came in.
I don't know. Brad said he thought because he had a stronger base. That's, and again, I don't know the reason behind it. I don't, you know, and I'm sure he'll be asked that question. I just wouldn't have done it. I just thought, Dane didn't do anything to hurt you. Amani's not going to come in and give you a lot of offensive power. He looks tall, but he is 6'6", max. Trying to guard 7'4", Zach Edey, the best player in college basketball. I just didn't think it was, I don't know what the reason was. Because I know you said Zach Edey was 2 for 4 from the line, but he's an over 70% free throw shooter. So I don't know if they were trying to foul him, or did they really think, because he has a strong lower body, he was going to stop him, because it wasn't going to happen. There was a couple of times when Dane, and I'm going to keep saying his name, and people don't like him, I'm really sorry, but, you know, he's not as easy to push around as some of these other guys. There was a play tonight where Zach kind of leaned into him, and he didn't get the shot off because Dane's a bigger body. They know Coleman's not going to guard him. I mean, they just know that he's going to sit there, and he's going to, you know, score at will. And Dane's at least going to make it effective. And in the second half, I would have used some of those fouls. I mean, Coleman and Dane both. I would have used them. I would have made it tough. I would have made it tough on the official, you know, because I don't think those guys, I don't think the officials, maybe they would have called 4 or 5 consecutive fouls on Coleman or Dane Danger. But that was mind-boggling to me. I can't wait to hear the madness behind that. I know that's going to be a topic of discussion in the press conference, because it didn't make sense to me. But again, I don't know the method for it. I'm not questioning it. Yes, I am. I'm questioning it. I'm not second guessing it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I get it. And then the other question I think too that we had is, I do think it comes down to the small details, and that's why I bring up turnovers. That's why I bring up. I will say the other thing is Illinois had so many opportunities where the ball, like there'd be two Illini, you know, there, and the ball would somehow end up out of bounds, and or it would bounce off to a Purdue player, and
yeah.
You know, and that's been a challenge all year long, you know, and I think it, again, it's those little things, those single plays, and if you look at a game that's 6 points, you know, that just means that there were a couple missed shots during the game that might have made a difference, but more importantly, a couple stops or a couple rebounds that you didn't get that went to the other team. You know, and that changes things around. So I think overall, I think, you know, the Illini were close. I thought they played a really good game. But in the end, Purdue, I thought, you know, imposed with the efforts of the big man. They imposed the pace they wanted. And the other reason why, and I'm going to say this because even Illinois plays a pretty good grab and hold game. And this is why Big Ten teams lose in the NCAA yep. tournament, because you can't play defense like that without getting 1,000 calls, you know, against you in right. the tournament. So when you try to do the grab and hold stuff and you get a foul called, and next thing you know, you got three guys with, two fouls in the first 4 minutes of the game. And now you're looking at playing a team that's getting confidence. That's where the upsets come from. And I do think that Illinois' style might fit in the big dance a little better than Purdue's does.
Oh, I do too. I mean, I think that's what they're, we've talked about this before on Illini guys. This team was put together for a run in March, and Brad kind of hinted at that again tonight. You know, kudos for Purdue for what they're doing and, for winning the Big Ten. But this team is ready to roll to roll the dice to see what they could do in the tournament. And a lot of it, too, going back to your original statement, I think a lot of it to me right now, it's about matchups. Illinois has done a good job of matchups. And at the end of the game, we talked about this. Justin Harmon was struggling. I mean, I would have went with Luke. I don't think they were trying to abuse anybody in the post. I think you can play Luke Goody and Marcus Domas because Marcus Domas plays the point in Purdue. They were, other than the fact that if it was Zach, they didn't look to post anybody up the entire night. So, I mean, because when you got down by six or seven, that's when I'm going to go to my shooters, try to get back. Or if you don't, you get the end ones that you got for Marcus. But I think going down the stretch, in tournament play, I know every coach, people will always wonder why they have so many coaches. Every coach has a different job, and I hope that's something that they keep a keen eye on, because who's in the game, why they're in the game, what they're going to give you, if they're a free throw shooter, not free throw shooter, taking advantage. Because what people, as good as this team is, I hate to say this, you are half a step away from losing in the first round. And what I mean by that, you could just have a team that come out and just shoot lights out. Or if you don't go left or right for five inches and the ball goes to the other team or goes out of bounds and hits your hand, those things cost you a game. And what I don't like is how they let Purdue dictate tempo. We talked about this. If that's not your game, then you have to force your will on people. Because what happens if you play in a tournament and a team slows you down like that? So is Terrence Shannon not going to be effective? Even though I know he's a good shooter, his shots just didn't go in tonight. He got open looks. But that's something that you want to avoid, is letting teams dictate how you play.
Yeah, I mean, that's a key one. Now I got to ask you one other question. In the first half, Illinois had success. They were up at the half, so it's fair to say that they had success up by 6 points by letting Edie get his, and not allowing the 3-point attempts from the rest of the team. Second half started out, they double teamed Edie, got some open looks for their guys. And that started them up on an 8-for-10 from the 3-point line second half. Is it something that, as much as some of us have bitched about letting the big guy get their points, should Illinois have continued that?
Yes, because, oh my gosh, you're reading my mind tonight. It's like we're on the same wavelength. If it was working and you had a 6-point lead, Purdue's a good 3-point shooting team. They shoot 40% as a team. That's pretty darn good. It's very good. By doubling him, you just did exactly what Matt Painter put that roster together for. Like, Illinois put their roster together for a bunch of 6-7 guys and guys who can all shoot it and defend. They put a roster together to center around Zach Edey. And for that first 4 or 5 minutes, I think because they weren't making shots, but as soon as the score got down to 2, I would have came out of it and I was done. But at that time, the damage, I think, was already done because Purdue had confidence. You give up those threes, which is why a lot of people still don't understand. I'm not a fan of it, but Underwood would much rather give up twos and threes. But against a team like Purdue who shoots the ball as well as they would have, I would have let Zach score 40. Because if you look at the score at halftime, Zach had 18 points, and the other 4, 5, 6 people that played had 4. That didn't happen at the end of the game. They let other people get off. So to answer your question, yeah, you can make adjustments, but that's the one I wouldn't have made because it wasn't hurting you. It was working to your advantage. And
so
I don't care.
So are we gonna admit now to Coach Underwood that against Reese and against other players, maybe we were wrong, and his based on the first half of Purdue, maybe his strategy is the right strategy to prevent the threes and then
no.
let two. Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you why. Maryland is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the conference. Purdue isn't.
Right.
That's why. Because Purdue has everybody on in their starting, and other than Zach, can shoot threes. Just like Illinois' starting five, everybody other than Ty Rodgers can shoot threes. So as I understand what you're saying, but the makeup of the team is totally different. I mean, I would let anybody from Purdue, not from Maryland, shoot the three, except for Young, I guess. But even though he's not great at it, so that's why. I just think Purdue is such a good team, and you let them get going. I would have stayed with them. Like, I just really would have, until they start making shots. And I thought Terrence did a pretty good job, you know, on Smith for a while, a little bit. But once you start throwing it in the post and doubling down and they got a little rhythm going, it was over.
Yeah, well, and again, I felt like that – and Illinois had so many – and this goes for – this kind of reminds me a little bit of Bielema ball occasionally, you know, but we had too many of those, and Underwood referenced this in the post game conference, too many turnovers. But when people think, you know, they hear turnovers, they're like, oh, good turnovers, whatever. That's just what they say. But what a turnover is a turnover prevents you from getting a shot. So you go down and you let Zach Edey score. And then when you turn it over, you go back and see if Zach Edey can score again. And so when I see turnovers, especially prior to a shot going up, as a former coach, that's probably the worst thing that can happen to you in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And no, people have to understand that turnover difference, you know, when it is turnovers of 12 versus 8, you know, I think I misspoke earlier. I meant to say three, but anyway, 12 versus 8, that's four possessions. The way Illinois shoots when they get on a roll, that could be 12 points.
Easily.
And yeah. And then all of a sudden the whole game changes. So that ability to take care of the ball, when Underwood says, you know, that this team needs to learn, they need to understand, you know, the abruptness of the end and make the little plays, like get loose balls and rebounds that make the difference. And, you know, and he talks about turnovers hurting them. I know it's the same message and fans think it's just coach speak, but in reality, a game this close, that's really the difference between, you know, do you go to Iowa with a slim chance of finding yourself in a game to win the Big Ten or to tie the Big Ten conference championship at the end of the year? Or do you go over to Iowa and you're like, we don't want to lose two in a row?
They can't lose two in a row, but I'm going to tell you, of all the teams that's left in the conference, I would say Nebraska and Iowa would be one of the two teams Minnesota that I wouldn't want to play. I just wouldn't, because Iowa's averaging over 80 points a game as well. I know this team is upset because they lost on senior day, but we'll see how they bounce back. And it's not going to be a gimme win just because it's Iowa. They're playing well, and they're playing because if they beat Illinois, they're probably getting into the tournament. I mean, again, losing at home stinks. I don't care if it was Purdue or not. Illinois played well enough to beat Purdue. They led for over 28, 29 minutes in that game. So I would have rather won today. If they would have lost Sunday, it would have been no big deal the way I looked at it.
Yep. Yep. And I, like I said, now for you, where you live, this Iowa game is bigger than it is for anybody outside of course, the Illini.
Well, where I live, I mean, and people have heard this before. It is, just, I mean, if you've never been to the area in which we live, people on both sides, because there's two or three bridges that you can drive across, and you're in one state to the next. My house is, I can literally drive to Iowa and be there in 4 minutes. And people do it all day back and forth, because you may live in Iowa, and you may work in Illinois, and like me, I live in Moline. And I work in Iowa. So it is a rivalry because of the states. People, they're loyal. And I know people don't want to hear this, but that Deion Thomas stuff you know, that happened years ago still resonates with a lot of people. It matters. People have parties, no matter how bad the teams are. It stinks this year because it's a Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I believe, which is not conducive for people having parties, whatever. But this game, it will always matter. I mean, even the women's game when they lost last 2 weeks ago up in Iowa City, wrestling, they pay attention to baseball. This rivalry matters to the conference, but in this area, it's big time.
Yep, yep. Any final thoughts on the game, Ked? I know that you're obviously heading back home. Any final thoughts on the actual game tonight?
You know what? Not the game itself, but I want to make this comment. We were just talking about Iowa. I don't know if people really realize it. Everybody's not on social media. I would advise a lot of people to get on Twitter. I can't call it X. And you watch the fan bases. This Purdue-Illinois rivalry is becoming much bigger than, I think, the Indiana-Illinois rivalry. I think that's kind of died out a little bit.
Yeah, because Indiana suck. You know what I mean? Because let's face it, Illinois had their 10-year, you know, their three years of Weber having a bad one, then 5 years of Gross. And then it took Underwood 2 years to get some talent in. So, I mean, there was a decade where Purdue, well, the rest of the Big Ten's like, why do these Illinois fans think they're good?
That's why. And now it's weird because you can see it. I mean, you can really sense the bitterness between the fans. And I mean, like, I think people are a little disappointed in Steve Bardo because, you know, once again, I think Robbie Hummel kind of showed his favoritism, and, you know, Steve didn't kind of, I don't want to use the word stick up, but fight for his alma mater. And the bad blood is there. And this is why I tweet, and I'm saying it on this podcast, enjoy it all you want. Because if Zach Edey's not there, I know by the Illinois roster next year, I know they're good enough, and I know they will be good enough. And I don't care if the rest of that whole supporting cast from Purdue comes back. They're not going to roll over the Big Ten like they did this year. So enjoy it. I like the rivalry. I will say this in closing. I'm a Big Ten guy because I cover all the Big Ten schools. Because of this rivalry with Purdue and what has taken place the last 2, 3, 4 years, when the tournament starts, I'm interested in covering one team and one team only. If they put 9 teams in and they go 1-8, so be it.
Yep. Yep. Well, like I said, it was an interesting one. Any recruiting tidbits that you might have? I'm not saying, you know, you just give people a little bit, and then of course they can subscribe to Illini Guys and get all the details.
Well, I'll give you a little bit. Tonight, they had one of the top players in the class of 2027 on campus. Maurice Johnson was there. He got his team lost last night in the Super Sectional, but tonight they had one of the top players in the country. And it was really weird is when I talked about it and I put it on a message board, a couple people sent me messages. They were kind of curious about his family because he's, you know, not from the state of Illinois. So 6'7" kid who is arguably, like I said to you, everybody said nationally, and you look up some of the, you know, national recruiting publications, this kid is a top 10 kid, and the love for Illinois is real. And I think they're trying to, you know, do what they did with Marez, if they're lucky enough to try to, you know, pull this off and get this kid to come to Champaign. So that's why you come to Illini Guys, you know, to get the scoop first. And, you know, and we did. And I think that's huge because if you can get a kid like that, the high school talent, and keep him like Coleman Hawkins, like we talked about last podcast, that bodes well for your program.
Yeah. And if people remember back in November of 2021, gosh, who was the kid who was so good that was the number one guy on Morez's team?
James Brown.
And you and I came out and we wrote articles and thought that Morez was going to end up being a top 25 player, and he was clearly the best player on the court. Well, if people would have read that, they could have saved a lot of time, as that ended up being the truth, you know, 3 years later.
Yeah, because he is. He's definitely the better player. And you know, he went down in tough defeat last night, you know, to a kid named Lathan Somerville, whose father was a good player, who's going to go to Rutgers. I actually wrote an article for Illini guys so people can read it, because that's going to be a little rivalry, I think, between the, both of those two players for the next few years in the Big Ten.
And that's going to be fun, so we're all for that. Well, thank you very much, Ked. We will be right back after these messages.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
And we are back. Mike Kegley here with Brad Sturdy, as promised. Brad, you were there. This sounded on television. It sounded like the old assembly hall days from the 80s. How loud was it in there?
Oh, it was great, especially early in the game. You know, I thought, and when Illinois made the run, I thought when they took the, when they came back and tied the game at 64, it was, you know, it was really loud. You know, early in the game when they hit those shots, it was crazy loud. I thought it was really good. Great atmosphere. Great crowd. I tell you, Purdue is one of those teams, though, they can handle that. Every game they play is like that because they've been a top time five team for 2 years, right? And so every game they play is like that. And so I think Painter made a comment. You know, he said every loss we have is like a courtroom storm, right? And so you're going to get that. So they're used to playing in tough atmospheres, and they really battled it. I thought in the second half they were just fantastic, and you give them credit. But it was a great atmosphere, great for Illinois. It was on the national stage. It was a marquee game, and Illinois showed that they can play with anybody. I thought Illinois did. Nobody else has a unicorn like Zach Edey, and I thought Illinois did a really good job of handling, Purdue for the most part, until they kind of let him go in the second half.
Well, I'm gonna publicly apologize because I've castigated Underwood multiple times for letting, you know, the bigs score a lot of points and trying to stop the three-pointers. And it worked very well in the first half. And then in the second half, when they doubled down, Purdue made them pay. And I look at that and I'm like, maybe they should have stuck with that. Obviously, there's some issues with, you know, Edey probably would have scored 40. And but you also don't let Lawyer and Smith get the confidence that they had, because in the first half, those two were a combined 0-for-2 from the 3-point line. And then in the second half with open looks, they were a combined 5-for-5.
Yeah, no question. But here's the error part about this. Think about, so they had 10, they were 8-of-10 from 3 in the second half. Right, Purdue?
Yep.
Let's give Edey the ball 10 times there in all those possessions. If you make him score, you could foul him on half those possessions. That means he's got to shoot free throws. He's got 10 free throws. 60% free throw shooter, let's say, for example. Or let's say he gets good and he makes 7. 7 yep. out of 10 points there. He shoots 4 out of 5. It's 80% on the other side. They get 15 points out of those 10 possessions. Instead, they got 24.
Right.
That's why you can't give up threes. I mean, it's such a simple thing, but it really is. I mean, you know, it really is. I mean, you can't allow them to get those 3 points. Shots off the clean looks. Yeah. I thought early in that second half, they got some clean looks. Yep. And then at the end, I thought, you know, Smith and Lawyer both hit some contested ones late.
Yes. And, but after they got their confidence going, right?
Correct. And that, we've talked about that many times on this podcast where we talk about how guys get going early, and then it's hard to guard them because they started making them. I thought Illinois did a really good job early in this game of making it tough on them to get clean looks and to take tough shots. And I thought they did a really good job defensively in the first half against, and overall, I'm still not going to say they didn't do a pretty good job defensively despite all of that, because Purdue scored, I think, 1.24 or 5 points per possession. It's about normal for them, just average game for Purdue. You know, and that was with shooting 8-for-10 from three in the second half. So, you know, it's overall, I don't know that Illinois did a really bad job defensively. I just thought they, you know, just made some mistakes, I think, not getting the loose balls and on long rebounds, which really hurt them, especially in the last minute 37.
Yeah, I will tell you, it was a little frustrating because it seemed like there was about four times that Illinois players, at least one and maybe two, appeared to have the ball, and then it just goes out of bounds. And you know, again, those possessions are just so valuable, especially against a team that scores at the rate that and the efficiency with which Purdue does. And I think the other thing that hurt them is, and I know it wasn't a massive turnover difference, you know, 12-8, but the Purdue makes you pay for those turnovers. And so Illinois, it's like the little tiny things, if Illinois takes care of, they'll be able to make a run in this tournament.
I agree. I mean, it is. And you know, details matter. And I think sometimes, you know, we see a guy make or miss a big shot, or a guy get to the rim and have a big dunk or something, and we think that's like the key to the game. And it's cool. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, you want to do that. But at the same time, it's getting a loose ball. It's that long rebound that you secure. If Illinois gets those in the final minute 37, Purdue got two offensive rebounds that led to 5 points. And they were kind of broken plays, kind of crazy shots that they, you know, and things like that. And like Underwood said after the game, if they get those rebounds, they secure those loose balls on those long rebounds, you're coming down. You take 5 points off the, what was the final, 77-71? So let's just take 5 points away from Purdue and give Illinois, you know, those possessions. A totally different game down the stretch, right? I mean,
yes.
You know, in the final minute, you have a chance to make that comeback and get that win. And that's the kind of thing you just can't, you know, you can't overcome when you're playing a team like Purdue. Now, the other side of this is there aren't teams like Purdue. I mean, they're very good. They're really good. They're definitely a top three team. I'm not sure they aren't a top one team. They're national championship caliber team. I think they have a chance to win it all and get to a Final Four, whatever. One of my favorite Purdue writers after the game comes up to me and he goes, "Well," said, "I'm impressed. I'll see you in Phoenix." Because he said he thinks those are two Final Four teams. And I'm not sure he's not wrong. Because Illinois just competed with Purdue, with Terrence Shannon having arguably the worst game of the season for him. I think that's good.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting because he never really got into the flow of the game. And then, you know, then when he's out there, of course, you know, you don't get in the flow and you get a couple fouls and you know, it just – you know, he never had a chance to get untracked. And I thought the other thing that Purdue did is they didn't let him use his speed very often. I think they did a very nice job of keeping somebody back. Now, you can do that when you have the human rebound in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
But boy, they did. I mean, look, you know, Illinois fans, you can think about how other folks talked about Kofi. Because, you know, Edie's just a bigger version of Kofi. And that was, you can say what you want about having a big guy and how the game has passed them by. But a guy like Edie and Kofi, is particularly at the college level, allows you to do an awful lot of things. And they cure a lot of ills.
Yeah, there's no question. He's a game changer. He's the most dominant. You know, Matt Painter said it after the game. He said, you know, well, we do have the best player in college basketball. I think that opens up a lot of doors for everybody else. He's not wrong.
Well, and I think it really does. And I think we'll find that, you know, Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith will find out next year. I mean, they certainly should be proud and confident of their accomplishments, but they'll also find that it's not quite so easy next year. And we'll see, you know, we'll see just, you know, will the undersized guards, will the undersizedness hurt them next year when no they question. Don't have him?
And I think defensively, he bails them out. You know, we talk offense, and yeah, he's great offensively. I don't have any questions. Just they plant him in the middle of the lane on defense. And when you go to the basket, you know, I know Damask had 20 points, and, you know, he basically – Painter said after the game that they could not guard Damask. He was basically unguardable for them. And what they did was they put Edie in the lane, and they said, you know what? Illinois is going to have to spray it and find a, you know, wide open shot. Or, you know, the problem is you can't, it's hard to attack. And I know Illinois scored a few baskets over him. I thought Damask had a lefty finish.
He had two.
Ty Rogers had one. Those they happen. But
yes.
Overall, he changes the game. And so when you kick it out, I thought Illinois passed up open looks that they could have made. And, you know, and you have to make those open shots, whether it's Shannon, whether it's Harmon, whether it's Damask in the second half. Those guys have to, you know, make knock down some shots. They were 0 of 6 from 3. And, you know, some of those are, I mean, I look thinking back to 5 of them were completely wide open threes.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, you make 2 out of 5. Oh, wait, we're tied? I mean, it's just a different game. I mean, you know, and those are the kind of things. You get wide open shots, the team that knocks them down is going to win. Basketball is a simple game, you know. It's those details. It's who can make that shot. It's who can make the plays. And, you know, Illinois plays Purdue in, you know, probably what would be, you know, less than about 12 days in the Big Ten Tournament Finals. If they're playing in that game, Purdue might miss and Illinois might make. I mean, you just don't know. So it's just, you know, sometimes the game just comes down to that, and it's a loose ball. It's whatever it is. And so I thought that was this game today, and I didn't see anything where Illinois did anything really bad other than really not secure some of those loose balls and long rebounds. And, you know, they had – they didn't get their bench production either. They had 57 bench minutes and scored 7 points.
Right.
But they also didn't get rebounds. Ty Rogers had no defensive rebounds. Terrence Shannon had no defensive rebounds. Luke Goody, no defensive rebounds. Quincy Guerrier had 1 defensive rebound. Go down the list, and you know, Just Harmon had 3. I think it was the second leading defensive rebounder on the team with 3. Maybe Damask. Damask might have had 4. But and Hulk Coleman had 8. But they really did not rebound the ball from the guard position. And when you get long rebounds and you get those misses, those loose balls, that's where those guards have to be able to get in there and get after it and find those long rebounds. And the other thing is that also creates those transition opportunities for guys like Terrence Shannon if we can get a long rebound and secure it and then run, because then they're not ready for that transition opportunities, because – You can't slow him. He's not very easy to stop if he gets his head of steam going downhill.
Yes, I totally agree. And so if you never let him start, that's the easiest way to stop him. It's hard to throw rocks at what Purdue did. I thought tonight both teams played pretty well. I just thought that, like you said, Purdue hit the open shot when they needed to, and they did it at a higher rate of accuracy than Illinois did, and that was the difference in the game, you know. And
you know, sometimes it isn't that hard, right? I mean, yeah, you know, yeah. One team, second half, Purdue made shots. I thought Illinois made some shots early in the game. But overall, they really, you know, didn't shoot the ball great. I mean, they're 4 of 16 from 3. You know, that if they shoot their normal percentage, then they probably win. And Purdue, since their normal percentage, they win. So these are, you know, it's just part of the game. And you're going to have days when they don't go in. I would like to see Illinois – bounce back, and you know, I think the biggest thing now is you need to win the game on Sunday at Iowa, which is not an easy place to play, although not many people go to the men's games. Especially if the women are playing in the Big Ten women's title game, there might not be anybody there. Who knows?
Yeah, we can hope, right?
So I think that this Illinois team is still good. Underwood said it after the game. He said, you know, we can make a Final Four. And I usually you don't see a coach who's never been to a Sweet 16, who has a program who hasn't been to a Sweet 16 in 19 years, say, we're good enough to make the Final Four if we do the little things. And I think it tells you what he thinks about this squad. They have the pieces that they could be, you know, a Final Four team, but they got to do those little things. They got to, you know, those things have to be taken care of if they want to get to the next level.
Totally agree with you. Any other thoughts as we review, or anything that came to mind for sitting there in the front row?
Yeah, no, I thought, you know, it was really cool to see all the, I mean, it was a celebrity packed game. I mean, Myers Leonard, got to talk to Myers a little bit. I haven't, you know, seen him in a while, and it's good to talk to him. And then, so that was cool. Brett Eldridge sat there next to Myers Leonard, Sidney Brown, Nick Allegretti, gosh, Kendall Gill, Kenny Battle, you know, the Flying Illini guys were in the house. I mean, go down the list. I mean, it was a who's who. Famous people from Illinois. So it was really cool to see everybody, you know, there and see the atmosphere that they had. You just like to see Illinois be able to get over the hump against one of these teams, whether it's Marquette, Tennessee, Purdue twice. But on the list, they've had a lot of opportunities to win, you know, a big game, I guess, you know, against a marquee opponent. And it just hasn't gone their way yet. And it's come down to the stretch. They've had chances to win all these games. They just haven't been able to get it done, whether it's getting a stop or making a big shot. And it, you know, so maybe it kind of clicks and things happen, you know, in the postseason as they're trying to figure things out and get better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I do think that's while Iowa is not having the attendance that they've had in the past, that's still a tough place to play. And I think that Iowa team, with their ability to shoot, and playing at home, that's never a guaranteed W up there.
No, not at all. But the good thing is they don't have Zach Edey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Zach Edey's a great player. He's the most dominant player in college basketball, but man, it's hard to watch. I mean, it's hard to watch that, you know, just walk it down, just throw it up to the 7-4 guy and then, and play from there.
Yeah, no, I'm like, with you.
I thought Illinois did a better job. Used to get the ball to Kofi. Had to work harder. I didn't feel like Purdue has to work hard to throw the ball into him. It's like, because he's so wide and so long, it's just easy.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And again, I don't have the antipathy towards Edey that a lot of Illinois fans have.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, it's a good kid. And for some reason, Luca Garza, who was also a good kid, frustrated me more than Edey, even though I think Edie's probably the most dominating center. You probably got to go back to those guys in the 80s, you know, or Shaq, maybe.
Shaq is probably – I think he's the most dominant post player center since Shaq. Yeah. I really do. You know, and especially with the way – you know, last year Purdue did not shoot the ball well from three.
Yep.
This year they're shooting 40% from three, and – suddenly they're, you know, virtually unguardable. And, you know, unless you can, you know, turn them over a little bit, I think they're really hard to stop. Too many shooters around a guy who just, you can't guard one-on-one efficiently.
Yeah, the two matchups you look like would be fun to see how Purdue will try to, you know, crack the code is Connecticut with Klingon. And then I also think the styles and stuff of Houston will be interesting, because they do turn people over.
Houston's interesting because they really do turn people over, but like they don't have any size. So if the ball does go into Edey, he'll just dunk on their heads. I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, I don't know, maybe they get called for fouls in the I do think when he gets in foul trouble, if he gets in foul trouble, they're probably going to lose.
Oh, I agree with that totally.
Because they're not very – you know, when he goes out of the game, look what happens. I mean, teams just – Illinois went right to the rim. And there's nobody to stop them. You know, guys like DeMosk and Shannon and Hawkins can just get to the rim when he's not in there. When he's in there, it makes it a lot tougher. So,
yeah.
By the way, I don't know if your recruiting update is – I don't know if you've talked about this, but, you know, Jalen Mitchell from Evansville.
Yes.
Originally from Olney, Illinois, through eighth grade. I think it was eighth grade. He moved down to Evansville. He was on campus with his Bradville Elite guys. He's dynamic freshman wing. He just elite athlete. Watch him play. He doesn't look like he's a freshman. He was on campus. Perez Johnson was also on campus. Talked to him a little bit about their about his high school career, about you know, their tough loss to Fiore Richwood. So, you know, he's excited to be here in June and get out to the into the mix for the Illini front court.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, ever since we watched him in November 2021, you know, we knew he was special, even if the national recruiters jumped on board a little late. You know, I can't wait for Morez and looking at this kid. When I found out he was a freshman, holy cow, that does not look like that. That's like, I'm not saying he's LeBron, but my goodness, that does not look like a freshman.
No, he's a legit top 10, top 15 national kid. I mean, all kinds of talent.
Yeah, if they can lock him down early, boy, that'd be fantastic too.
Yeah, mom and they're big Illinois fans from Olney. Yep. You can expect. So I think that's cool. His stepdad is a really nice guy as well. So yeah, it's really cool to see those guys get guys like that on campus. And yeah, especially for this kind of atmosphere. He seemed to be having a really good time after the game.
Well, you can imagine how much fun it is. Of course, the other thing I do tell people is when you see Zach Edey on TV screen, the TV screen doesn't do justice for just how big he is. And if you recall, last time Myers was in town was again the Purdue game on Martin Luther King a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I, you know, bumped into Myers and I'm like, this may be the biggest human I've ever seen. Then I saw my life flash in front of me when I almost bumped into Kofi, who's even bigger. And then I literally came close to the same thing with Edey, and he made Kofi look small. So, yeah. You know, you just, it's really hard to understand what kind of unicorn he really is when you're just looking on it, even on an 85 inch TV screen. That does not tell you how big Zach Edey is. You put him on a movie screen in a theater and that's about real life.
Yeah, it is. He's like Godzilla walking through those mini buildings in those old movies. It really is like that. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but he's otherworldly in size and he's very skilled. You know, he's got such a good post-up game. I do think it's interesting that he did get away with four steps one time. You know, so, and he doesn't need four steps. So I think it's gotta be really hard to officiate his games. I always said this with Kofi, it's really hard, yes, to officiate because he probably fouls every play and he probably gets fouled every play. So, I mean, yep, depending on how you look at it, because, you know, I don't know. It's hard to, it's a hard thing to do, but you know, I think that's where Purdue struggles in the tournament, is if he gets a foul trouble or they have an official calls him for a couple of, you know, cheap ticky tack fouls, man, I don't know. They're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, and I do think the other thing is, you know, he's tough and it's so hard to get the consistency going because, you know, as I watched, like, he had three fouls tonight, and I'll be honest with you, I thought the three plays he got called for a foul was probably some of the least contact that was made.
Yeah.
And then the plays where he literally kills somebody, they don't call anything. It must be if you're Edey, it must be frustrating to know, like, what do I do and what do I not do, because
I thought a key play in the game was when he blocked Hawkins' shot from behind. It looked like he may have flipped the arm and the head and the rim. And you mentioned that earlier. He may have goaltended even. But
yeah, he got the rim. That was clear on the TV. Yes.
We got a lot of things. And, you know, no call. And then you go down the other end and, you know, they score. Thought that was interesting. Those are the kind of plays. And I thought, you know, Justin Harmon, not picking on him, but thought he had a wide open three there to answer the Purdue three a couple of times. And he doesn't make it. I think Damask penetrated, kicked out, and he's literally, nobody's within 15 feet of him, and he misses. Well, I think if he makes that three, it's a different game, right? I mean, I think those are the kind of game-changing plays. It was right after Lawyer made his three, and those are the kind of plays that you have. And so there are options. One thing I will say, what Purdue does is really, they do a lot of the same things Wisconsin does defensively.
Yep.
They really get into your lower body. You watch them, they bump guys, their lower bodies on the drives a lot. It's very difficult to you don't really look for it, but they really bump guys when they go up, even when they shot. And I've got a video of it, or a picture of it. I think Damask went up for a shot at some point, and he literally got hit right in the legs as he's, you know, in the air, and they didn't call it. And that's always called, you know, that's kind of the point of emphasis. But they, for some reason, they get away with those little things. They're very physical with the lower body defensively, just like Wisconsin does. And I think that's, that seems to be the way to play defensively in the Big Ten. But then you tend not to get those calls when you get in the NCAAs.
Yeah, we just, we talk about that a lot. And I mean, that's 1980s. That's how we were taught to play, is that
the, oh, yeah.
Is that the referee's looking at the hand and the shooting motion. And so, we would hip toss people, do all sorts of stuff, at down low, and it would almost never get called. And it's, it's one of those things that I do think that when they get into the tournament, I think your point is correct. It's hard to play a different way in the tournament than how you play.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. I thought there were a couple of plays where I thought Ty Rogers had a couple offensive rebounds. I thought there was one where he went up for an offensive rebound and he had a guy literally undercut him completely on the offensive glass and took him out of bounds. It was really obvious. It was a blatant undercut. I mean, those are the kind of things that get people hurt. But again, it's lower body, so nobody really notices those things.
Yeah, because you're watching the ball, and so you don't really see that, and it's a good strategy. It works, but in some conferences, some leagues, and I think it comes down these guys ref for different conferences, and I think it comes down to them pleasing the supervisor of the conference. And I think the Big Ten, just their supervisor tends to like that type of ball, I guess. And
yeah, oh, I agree.
And look, I whine about it, although like every year when I watch Izzo get to coaching, I find out that as much as I whine about the refs, I look like an amateur compared to him.
So, yeah, he's much better than you.
Yes, he's the one man who whines more about the refs than I do. There aren't that many. He's the one.
Yeah, all I right. thought. Yeah, I would agree. He's the queen.
Yeah. No, I agree. Anything else before we let you go and head back to the stately, sturdy manor?
Yeah. So, I think the biggest things you got to take from this, you can't go back yet, but I think Underwood, you have to harp on those little things. They've got to get better at the details. If they're a little bit more detail oriented, do those little things, get on the floor after loose ball. I thought, they're trying to rest guys too. I thought playing more guys, giving guys some minutes in the first half to make so they're fresher down the stretch. I mean, he's not going to say that publicly, but that's what they're doing. They're playing more guys so they're fresh down the stretch. So that means, because he wants them to dive on the floor and get those loose balls. He wants them to be one step quicker at the end of the game to get that, secure that rebound. So I think that's where they got to keep harping on that. If they can do that, I really like this team's chances to not only make a run, here in the Big Ten tournament and at Iowa in the Big Ten tournament, but also in the NCAA tournament. I think they really have the pieces. I think they're a very difficult team to guard. They can overwhelm teams that aren't as athletic as them, or that, as long as they don't have, and there's only one team. There's one other team that has a guy like, maybe two, if you count Creighton with Kalkbrenner and Klingon and Edie. That's really those are the big guys. Everybody else has guys that, you can attack the rim and do some things with, and that can't just stand in the lane and play, one man zone. So I think that they have some good matchups if they get in the tournament.
Yep. No, I agree. And I also think the Illini style of play with less grab and hold than what you see out of the triumvirate of Purdue, Wisconsin, and Michigan State, it's probably a little bit better served in there. But again, Illinois, they're in the category of teams that have to prove it. And fair or unfair, Lou Henson had to go through that. Probably the only coach that I remember that didn't have to prove it in the NCAA was Bill Self, because he just came in and started motoring forward.
Bruce Weber did well in the NCAAs those first 2 years.
Yeah, the first 2 years, I guess.
Then he went downhill.
Yes, then all of a sudden Bill Self's players were gone. And it got largely tougher.
Gotta have players, don't
you? Yeah, yes, you do. No matter how good a coach you are, you need to have the players. And so I think it's exciting for Illinois fans. I think it's gonna be a a very tough fought game. If Illinois wins at Iowa, they're going to earn it. And I think that, and then of course, then that means no matter what happens, they're going to play on Friday. They've got the double bye, and they will play on Friday in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, they're the 2 seed or the 3 seed.
Yep, yep. And I think what you and me up there for sure, and maybe even Matt. So we'll be there to cover it. So there'll be no problems there. Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Brad. We appreciate your time, and we will be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info in recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-523-6376. That's 800-523-6376.
Thank you so much for listening to Eye on the Illini. Thanks so much to Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for taking time out of the evening to discuss this. We look forward to covering the Illini the rest of the way. It's hard to believe, folks, the regular season at home is done. One more game against the Iowa Hawkeyes on Sunday, and then it is Big Ten tournament time, where Illinois will be either the 2 or 3 seed playing on Friday. Of course, the Illini guys will be up there to cover it. We are excited about going to Minneapolis. Any of you fans, we will be at Fat Lorenzo's multiple times. I love that restaurant, and haven't been back to Minneapolis since 2006, so all ready to go. But we will keep you up to date. Go to IlliniGuys.com, get all the news, get all the rumors, get all the things going on in the background. Be a subscriber. Join today. We will talk to you on Sunday, unless you're listening to us on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on Friday or Saturday. Go to IlliniGuys.com, look for the radio button up at the top, click on it. You'll see all the days, the times, the stations that you can tune into. Find the one closest to you and listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We also have it in podcast form that you can listen to as well. We will hear you Sunday. Go Illini.